You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Beautiful. And, it was actually, it was It was the summer of 1993. It was actually in D.C. So not out of Kentucky, and it was a summer working as a hospital chaplain. And just recently, I'm just trying to think whatever that. It's been kind of a whirlwind. A few weeks ago, I forget what today's date is. We had our first grandchild on February 5th. My son and daughter-in-law, and they're out in Montana. And we had a grandson, Max, and so we've been out there. And it's funny, the theme chat that you began with last night. My wife has been telling me to do things, and this didn't just begin. But it's intensified. Craig, you need to call Jack. Craig, did you text Jack? You know, text Jack this. I'm not going to text him, Craig. You need to tell Jack this. And that's not the way. There have been a lot of things that I've needed to tell Jack for many years now. But one of the things that is not surprising to me, and I'm just thinking about this, I often think about this in the context of the spiritual life, is, and I was thinking about parenting. All three of our children are grown now, and as for those of you with grown children, you know that parenting doesn't make it easier. Just all the stakes ramp up. it's dramatically different. It's not like, oh, thank goodness. They're out of the race. It's easy now. All the things, intensify with parenting. But one of the things I remember when they were younger in particular, as soon as I kind of started to feel like I had it, they changed. And I've never achieved mastery. Keep sort of thinking, you know, one of these days I'm going to get it, one of these days I'm going to master it, one of the things, and I second guess myself because, not that I think I'll achieve mastery because I don't, but what I second guess myself, like, what am I supposed to do? Should I be better? Should I know more? Should I do a better job now than I did? And I guess to some degree, in thinking about parenting, perhaps what I do have now is decidedly not mastery. I don't have it, but at least there is a certain amount of perspective. I do have a certain amount of perspective now, and the perspective isn't in my skills. It's in God. And as time goes on, this is true, isn't it? We're led to even deeper dependence. We don't become more independent. We're led further and further into dependence. We're led further and further in the need and the necessity of God, the grace of God, the strength of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the intervention of God. As time goes on, it's not a matter of... it's funny because I'm more aware of my faults and my shortcomings. Hold me to think differently, but I think I'm really more aware of my faults and my shortcomings and those of others around me. And yet I'm also more gracious as well. Just because, you know, life has a wonderful way sometimes of impressing upon you your need and therefore the opportunity perhaps to be gracious in relationship with others as well. And the recognition of your need for that as well. I mentioned to you 1993. This is an image, something that happened to me. Hospital chaplaincy. I was, it's funny about priesthood at 30. There's some merit. I think at this point, I don't know. I was in my 20s at that point. I definitely wasn't. I was at some point, but I talk about grief, and I get a call from a woman whose father was there at the hospital, and she asked about producing last rites for her father. I quit a little bit because simply, and again, I didn't tell her that I bought my iPhone, but I'm like, you know, let me go see, let me, you know what, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to go up there. And actually, I had met her father. He happened to be on the ward to which I was assigned. I was a chaplain on call that particular night. And I said, you know, as soon as we hang up, I'll go up and visit with your father, pray with your father. As soon as I have, I'll come back out and I'll call you. And I'll let you know, how he's doing. And that part, obviously, sincere and serious. So I go, I go up to her dad's room, and it's nighttime, and there's just that one light, the night light over the bed. It's the only light that's, on. And he is, he's not able to speak. He's on oxygen, but he's awake. So he's not unconscious, but he's not able to speak. And I just walk in, and Mr. So-and-so, remember his name? Yeah, it's Mr. Slavinsky. Mr. Slavinsky, you know, your daughter called. She loves you very much. She just wanted to, she wanted me to check on you. She wanted me to come and pray for you. And so I'm here. Again, your daughter loves you. She wanted to know how you were. And I told her I'd be delighted to pray with you. And I let her know. And so anyway, began to pray, and this is early on, but even to this day, I'm going to those situations, and other times the situations that I see, you don't know. Hey, how much should I pray, how much should I not pray? How long should I say, how long should I not, how long should I not say, what should I say, what should I not say? Lord, I don't have it. What do I do, Lord? Lord, I pray you guide me. That was my prayer. I pray you guide me. So again, I was sort of read some scripture, prayed some silently, prayed some aloud, and then began to feel anxious in my conversation, of course, which is prayer with God. And Lord, I don't have anywhere else to be tonight. But you know, just God. Help me. Should I stay or should I go? And then, right after I prayed that prayer, the first of two things happened. I mean, literally, right after, Lord, I don't have it. Be with me. He reached out and held my hand. I just thought, thank you. Good try. The kind of clarity I need, the kind of prayer that God wants. Thank you, Lord. So it continued on. As we've done some formula, it was just me standing here, honestly, and praying a little. And again, after a while, you pray. Standing there with him again, just sort of that dim. And that dim light, and after a while, began to pray again, Lord. You know the deal. I don't know what to do. I've got nowhere else to be. If you want me to hang around, I can hang around. But at the same time, Lord, if you'd like for me to go, I wish you'd go. I wish you'd go already. You don't want to leave him. You don't want to walk out. And, well, great. He's leaving. He's leaving when I need him. So I just sort of get some of that silent prayer. And then, pretty much right after I prayed that other prayer, he's holding my hand with one hand. With the other hand, he reaches up and he goes like this. Bye. And, Chad, you were mentioning earlier, Moses, Saul, I kind of felt like Craig, this was twice. Once was the holding the hand, once was the wave goodbye. Some people God speaks to, in parts of Greek and Hebrew. To me, it's more comic strips, I guess. So it's very sort of simple, succinct, unmistakable, unable unable to do this, you know, now's the time. And I share that with you, and I always, you know, there's always a hesitation to then begin to explain a story, right? Because then it just sort of like undoes all of that. And again, to some degree, that image speaks for itself without my having to sort of unpack and explain it. We don't have mastery, we have God with us. It's not given to us to have mastery, but to have God with us. Any of those questions that we have is, does God care about me? Does God love me? Is God real? Is God with me? Those are questions that we have in our relationship with God, in our relationship with other people. And wonderfully, along the way, God gives us these unmistakable yes. Yes, I love you. Yes, I'm with you. Yes, I'm real. The theme, when God shows up unexpectedly, God has a way of doing that in ways which can be simple and yet profound. God is certainly in all the majesty and the minds and the wonder, but he's also in those little simple moments where he comes in and he answers those fundamental questions that we have as human beings. I am the God who is with you. And I'm the God who's with you because of who I am, not because of who you are. Because what's my belonging? That you would know that, and that you would be mine. Scripture is a familiar scripture. What we, in the prayer book, in the evening prayer, we call the Nunc Dimittis, Song of Simeon. And wonderfully, Simeon and Anna, of course, we know, are in the temple. It's interesting because Simeon and Naomi, they're an angel moment in the call. They weren't high priests, they weren't Sanhedrin, they weren't temple officials, they were just Simeon and Anna, just a man and a woman who we hear just very briefly, and then we don't hear them again, and yet God shows up to them. God shows up for them. He is God with them. They longed for his appearing. They awaited his appearing. And it took a long time. I think God appeared to them. I hear the word. And when the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought him the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. As we go forth, thanks be to God. That he comes, that he reveals his salvation in Jesus, his Son. That you and I are able, according Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of you and be upon all of you from this day and always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.